Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers from afar, Greg. Cheers. There you go.
Cheers, Mary.
Cheers. You guys.
How y'all doing? What's going on?
Good.
Good day?
Yeah.
Do we sound good,
Tim? Busy.
Very
one
busy.
Two? One, yeah. Two.
What's your days? What's going on?
Well, you know, I had to run around and find fabric and source trims and pick up a pattern, yell at the pattern maker for not doing things right.
Oh, nice.
I bet that. Yelling, or was it? Like
yeah,
a
no, I wasn't. I mean, this is me yelling, basically. Like, yeah. Why did you do that?
Literally, I've never seen you yell.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get me worked up, but... You know, just making designers' dreams come true. Yeah. So,
I like yelling at people. I like yelling at people. It's
yeah, I can picture you yelling.
Yeah,
pretty. It's rare that it happens. When it does, it's like okay, it's cathartic.
I like who I like to yell at.
I can't imagine you yelling at anybody. Oh. You're so zen. Yeah.
Oh, no. I get it out.
Yeah.
It's like, these He's been known to yell. Yell. Those two. No.
I've seen him yell before.
Have you been yelled at, Brad?
No. Actually, I wish you would yell at me sometimes.
I've yelled at you, like, maybe twice.
Yeah. But it was like a stern, like, hey. Listen to me. The words that are coming out of my listen to these words. But it wasn't like a shut yo. You
know I mean? I try.
I seen that one time. That was hilarious, though.
Was that with me?
It was in the living room with such and such. I think.
Oh yeah.
And then
I don't like being yelled at.
Does anyone?
Yeah. When I get yelled at, I get very upset.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea, right?
When's the last time somebody yelled at you?
Janelle yells at me.
She's allowed to.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
But does it count?
Oh, it does count.
All right. When's the last time somebody yelled at you, Katie?
Earlier this week. I don't know. I get yelled at a lot.
I yelled at somebody like 2 weeks ago. I didn't feel that good about it. Yeah. Afterwards.
I don't think it's good. I think we got to talk nicely to each other. Because the point doesn't get across yelling.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't. I think firm talking to.
Yeah.
And when I'm trying to get the point across somebody, I always like keep like a stern, like not a weird eye contact.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a weird, very like, whoa. Yeah.
I had a thing recently at a place where I was talking stare to somebody, but I was just pointing at their chest.
What? The point is, that's
but
a
I was, like,
trigger.
Touching their chest, I was like, and you shut up, I'm not done talking. And I was just, it's like, why are you pointing at my chest? I was like, I didn't realize I'm doing it.
You are the problem.
I was like, oh yeah, maybe it's me.
It's very weird.
It was very weird, yeah. It was a very confrontational situation.
I had to yell at a grandma who like works for Walmart. I had to call Walmart, my old parent company, about some information about insurance. And I asked them to add me to this email. I need this document sent. And I kept on checking my inbox. Wasn't there. And so I had to call them. On the third time, this Arkansas grandma answers the phone. And you're like, clearly, this is the only job that you can have is sitting down at a call center. I am so sorry. And now I have to explain to you, like, why I can't open this email, why I can't find this email. Like, it's firewalled. And I'm like, this woman has no idea what I'm talking about. But I was so angry that it had taken me three times to get this damn email that I like was yelling at her, and then I finally was able to open up the email, and I was like, oh shit. And I was like, thank you so much. You were really helpful. You know, like I just realized the tone switch that I had with her the whole time. Yeah. And then I was like, oh man, I'm being a dick.
Did she have that like country southern accent?
Oh yeah. Sweet. Big time.
And you can't tell the sarcasm sometimes with that.
Bless your heart.
Like, shut you motherfucker.
Oh, they're so sweet though.
I know. Sweet. And she was being sweet, but I was just so pissed off.
Yeah, you needed to get your shit.
I needed my shit. That's right. Deadline.
I was on the phone with Social Security because I needed my card and some selective service number for something, whatever.
Say social again?
Social Security.
Okay. I thought you said Social Security.
I stuck that by fucking teeth.
Is that Miami?
And then I was like, I was talking to somebody. It was like three different people telling me three different things. And the third person, I was like, I'm sorry, but I'm just like, you're gonna make me sound like an asshole now. Because she was like, how are you doing today? I was like, I want to kill myself.
No. I'm always,
I've been on the phone for 45 minutes. I want
to
die.
I'm always nice to those people. DMV workers, mm-hmm. Social Security, like people that you need, you have to have, and they can like roadblock you. You know? You gotta be nice to them.
Mm-hmm,
you
definitely. Nice to
them. Well, welcome to another episode of Black Stage. With Bradless and Greg. How you doing today, Brad?
I'm feeling good.
Feeling good? Nice.
Nice. The laugh is unconvincing.
It's good.
I'm so convinced. I just decided I'm feeling good today.
All right. Well, we have a special episode today. We have hilarious comedian Katie Merriam on the show.
Hi. Woo. Thanks for having me. I'm
good to see you, Katie.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Good to have you. It's been too long. You know, we've been trying to get you. It's been a scheduling on both of our parts, but it's good.
It's mostly
to have
Greg's
you.
Fault.
Busy people.
I just want to say that.
I'll definitely take that. And we also have a special guest, Meredith Peachrogue.
Yeah.
Meredith, I don't know.
My sister.
Like, very, very funny. very funny non-comedian.
but Meredith has a skill set that she does with fashion. I mean, how could we describe what you do, Meredith? You just got a new gig as well.
Yes, yes.
A Spengali of the fashion world.
I just make dreams happen for a living. it's my one and only.
Fashion is a huge thing already in general, I think, but in LA as well, and with Hollywood, mm-hmm. Also within comedy, the fashion trends within comedy. You know, comedy is like leather jackets, leather outfits, to dudes.
Bad hair.
Dudes in hoodies.
Yeah.
Just people in hoodies. Flannels. Flannels was like a big thing
that
for
was
a long time.
I think I want to be the first athleisure comic.
Okay. I think you're getting there for sure.
I don't know that you'd be the first.
Ali Wong got you on that.
Yeah.
She's the first. No, she's. What does she wear? Well,
she doesn't do it on show. She doesn't do
she doesn't
it.
She doesn't do shows about her being pregnant.
No. I mean, she's not doing it on specials, but her shows?
Oh, she's like athlete?
Oh, she's like rocking sweatsuits and like jumpsuits and everything.
Like on a special, though.
I think that'd be dope on a special.
A Lululemon yoga set.
Yoga. Oh, wow. Yaga? Is that a new
Lululemon?
Line? The yoga
I'm learning how to talk.
Sweatpants, no drawers.
Showing your booty, huh?
I don't know. Anytime I watch a special on Netflix or whatever, especially with the female comics, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, no. Like, really? Like, it doesn't, a lot of the outfits they choose don't come across well on screen, and it's like did no one coach you through this? And they'll just be like drag lines, and they'll look messy to me. I just want to fix their outfit the whole time.
I think it must be hard.
She's just doing her job there for a second.
I can't listen to your comedy. I'm just really just sucked into your crotch lines.
I mean, Katie,
wow, that is a line. Sucked into your crotch lines.
What do you think? I mean, like the women, my women comedian friends always told me like it's always been hard for them to pick out, like for big shows or something, if they're shooting a special, it's hard to figure out which way they go. I got a friend now that just says she just gets glammed up now. It's like she would used to dress down so people would not sexualize her in a sense. But now she just says, fuck it. I'm wearing big heels, glammed up, makeup hard, just, you know, doing whatever they wanted to do. But what do you think?
I mean, I understand both of those things. I have a lot of respect for the girls that get glammed up because I struggle to do well if I'm glammed up. And I think that's just like a skill level, really, to be honest. But yeah, I dress down usually.
What do you think? Do you feel the audience judging you differently, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have a message about how, you know, you went on bad dates or you like something bad about your life and you look like a million bucks, it doesn't read well.
I hear you.
So,
I don't think comedy is sexy. Like
sexy. Oh, no, funny women aren't sexy.
I mean, you said it.
I was speaking for you.
No, I mean,
I think it'd be most important just to feel like yourself. So, right. So wear what you're comfortable in,
yeah.
no matter what that is, because right. that way it will be authentic to you.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times people, when they have like the TV specials, they might have a stylist or something right. that mm-hmm. they might put themselves in something that it's they would never wear
lines.
With crotch lines, drag yeah. lines, or like really oversized pants just don't read well on screen or really on any body. Oh, yeah. So I've seen a lot
That's why
of
I
that.
Want to be on a podcast.
You know, and I'm no stylist, obviously. I am wearing said flannel that you're talking about.
Oh,
today.
No,
but I do have a really
cool. You
had
a cool Japanese T-shirt.
James Bond.
Japanese oh, T-shirt. Yeah.
James well, you found
Bond. Octopussy. This yeah. was from Forever 21. The nice. Men's section.
All right. Don't yeah. say that again. Yeah.
I know. I'm
don't,
so. I have.
It was at a Japanese so market. Oh, it was yeah. at a Japanese open air market.
I mean, it was. It was. I bought it like 10 years ago. If that makes it any better. I mean, I don't know.
It's a dumb shirt. I wore that. Outfit, I got pictures in that outfit. That
great.
That
yeah.
exact outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
That necklace and everything?
That's no, not dope. The necklace. Aww. That necklace yeah. is awesome.
It ties it together.
I do feel good, like, when I have, like, new sneakers and mm-hmm. I do a set. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I got new sneaker confidence. But other than that, it's like, I don't want to feel, like, I don't know. I don't think I could wear a suit on stage
yeah.
and feel spiffy. I probably am going to wear a suit when soon.
After your athleisure special, you'll do your suits.
My athleisure special. It's called the Yaga special.
The Yaga special.
It does make you feel different, though.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
All dressed up. And I hate to see, like, comics, like Meredith said before, like, comics that you can definitely tell they got a stylist.
Right.
And their mm-hmm. stylist was, like, doing way too much for him.
Right.
It's like, come on, man. He would never wear that hat. Yeah. yeah.
And, it has, like, and the leather has, like, a special sheen to it. Like, they oiled up the leather. And it's like, that leather doesn't shine like that.
It's too much. Know?
It's too much.
It's too much.
I wouldn't go for it.
Perhaps it's vegan leather.
Oh, that's a thing?
Which means it's plastic.
That is a thing. It's fake. It used to be faux leather, but yeah. now it's vegan leather.
It's not good for the environment. It sounds like it is,
it's
but
not?
It's not. Because it's plastic.
Okay.
Mm. It's essentially polyurethane, which is plastic.
I think
the fashion industry has trouble with pollution.
Listen.
Yeah, every industry has
really
except
bad.
For comedy.
Yeah.
There's no pollution in comedy.
We pollute your soul.
I mean, that's been the cool thing, the new place that I'm at, because we're domestic production. So we're actually working with people to develop and produce here in Los Angeles. And my whole 12-year background is all in import products. So product from China, product all right. from India, Indonesia, you name it, Morocco even. But I think, you know, sustainable fabrics, that's a term that's thrown out there a lot. And truly, there isn't any real sustainable fashion, right? If you're making new clothes, you're creating waste. There's right. no way to yeah. do it waste-free unless you're just taking vintage or stuff that already exists and reworking it. But when you think about boating, like, all of your clothes came here on a boat.
Yeah.
And the amount of fuel and the waste that incurs. And then once it arrives here, it has to get on a truck or a train to get to you. So producing domestically is a great way to kind of go about actually being sustainable in a way where, like, you're going to have waste no matter what, but at least you know it's not having to cross, you know,
oceans.
Millions of miles, yeah. oceans, and all that stuff to get to you. So it's actually been really interesting to be on the end. And especially because that's how all clothes used to be made. You know, LA used to be a huge production
apparently, base, yeah.
As well as
New York
City.
Yeah.
It was probably bigger in New York for quite a while.
The garment district and all that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it had its own ecosystem, but as I've been thinking a lot about this. I feel like someone needs to write a paper or like an article about it. But just to know, like, as time went on and as technology progressed, that's when stuff started getting shipped overseas, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was easier to communicate, you know, via fax or eventually email. It was easier to fly to China, you know, versus like in the 60s, right? No one was like going over there to find factories. So as that all became easier, more and more things started getting shipped off. And then all the ecosystem in New York and in Los Angeles, where you had all of the trim suppliers, the fabric suppliers, they all worked in unison together. But as that business dried up, those all kind of went away. So you had this possibility. It's like, you know, the question of like, if someone made an iPhone here, well, all the parts are made in China anyway. Oh, yeah. So it's like, why? So it's been just really interesting, the tide and how things have shifted over time.
Now, you two have a thread together right now because, Katie, you're doing a show with Meredith's husband.
That's right.
Doug Dixon, who we've had on the podcast.
Yeah. My DMT brother. Yeah.
The show.
Shaman.
What's the name of the show? Now, is this a special? This is a different type of show. Could you talk about it?
We don't really talk about it, honestly.
Oh, really?
But we haven't needed to. And we kind of...
It speaks for itself.
It's a speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy.
It is.
Can we talk about it?
It's a secret speakeasy show.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of invite only, and we're sort of doling those out because it's a very limited space, to be honest, for a show.
How is that now? How is it booking that, and like how is it telling people about it?
It's you know, if they get it, then it's fun because some people get it, and some people are like, "What are you trying to lure me to right now?"
Like, you do go up a spiral. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Well, you drive to a shady corner
very
of downtown.
Shady. It's right by my office.
It's by the Garment District, right?
Yeah. I work 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks sketchy as hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But then you walk in and there's like beefed up security guards.
Mm-hmm. Super beefed. Yeah. Super funny, too.
Yeah.
These guys are hilarious.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Joking the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah. And you see their monitors. They're watching the whole block. Yeah.
They walked me to my car last night, and I was like, I parked in the parking lot, and I'm like, I don't
still, ma'am.
Like,
yeah, you never know.
Like all the way until I open my car door, I'm like, I'm good.
It is. I think it's one of the best shows, or not the best show in LA, because you just it's cool. They take away your phone.
Yeah, no phones allowed. No pictures. Yeah.
No pictures.
Which does, you know,
I love that.
I didn't realize how much that does for a show. It just makes everybody have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to pay attention. You just automatically pay attention because your phone's not there. You don't have a distraction.
I mean, they're high as hell, too. Cause
That's the biggest distraction.
Weed is available readily.
Yes. And then you get fed.
How long?
You get fed. You get boozed up.
How long have you been doing it? How long? How many shows have you guys done?
First one we did in December?
December, I think, yeah. Okay. So...
And it's monthly?
Months. It's monthly, first Wednesday of every month.
Yeah, I was talking to Doug about it, and I was like, it reminds me of like, not reminds me of what I used to watch, but like when I heard about Playboy After Dark.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're dressed up.
You're dressed up. Uh-huh. Well, most of us are dressed up. I'm dressed up in t-shirts and jeans.
Athleisure. Athleisure. Yeah, you wear your fancy jacket.
Yeah, you wear your fancy Star Wars jacket.
Bradley's came last show, walked in, first 2 minutes and broke something. within the first 2 minutes of being there.
It's I thought I was at a Greek restaurant. That's what I was doing.
No, it's a really great show. How did you guys come about with the idea?
Well, I mean, it's totally Doug's company that's putting it on. And I know that they came up with the idea in general for the space as a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to expand on that and get like more interesting people, not just in the weed industry, to come by. So they just... They came up with other themed nights, and one of them was comedy night. And I was
they're doing other themed nights as well?
I think there's a ladies' night.
Ladies' night, yeah.
Nice.
Is it nothing but ladies?
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Am I not allowed?
No. Sorry. Let us have this.
Okay.
Let us have this one night.
Not dickly.
I mean, can I just watch for 5 minutes?
You know, it's always ladies' creeper night at the strip club around the corner from
there.
There
you go.
I want to be around classier.
What's the name of that strip club?
Rhino.
Spirit Rhino.
I want to be around classier.
Listen.
Are we giving
they're trying to pay their tuition,
okay?
I hate how strip clubs, especially in this city, are always like... It like an area that Batman lives in. You know what I mean? It's always around like some deep corner where like you can't run away. You know what I mean? It's creepy.
The worst are the ones on the west side where it's like it's next to an auto body park. It's always next to like a garage.
Yeah.
And there's a dog barking, protecting like auctioned off cars and
shit. Very creepy. But also you run another show called Two Drink Minimum.
Yes.
Doug is with
Doug's
Doug's
on that one too.
Yeah, yeah. Nice combo. Nice combo together.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been doing that show for a while, right?
Yes. So that actually started. First started doing it at Doug's house, Meredith's house as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Meredith. You're welcome.
I open the doors and mop up after all of you.
It's only through Meredith's grace that we ever get to do it.
It really is.
Sometimes I look at Meredith. I'm on the microphone looking at like you know. People sitting down in the backyard, and I just look at Meredith. I'm just like, by the grace of God, thank you so much.
Seriously, you're welcome.
Back to the stick joke.
How many dick jokes have you heard?
Oh my goodness,
in your own house,
too many.
Yeah,
how long have you been on the show?
So we started doing that a couple years ago, but it wasn't monthly, it was like sporadic, and then we started doing it once a month,
over
a year ago, something like that,
yeah.
And then started throwing it at Mateen Stewart's house as well because that's a Saturday night. And then Doug is going to be the bartender this Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
So it's like it's a lot of moving parts, but when they hit, it's a fucking banger.
So you've been doing it at Mateen's and the last two shows?
Yeah, the last couple of shows. But now we're going to try to do, because I can't have my favorite bartender. Not that Doug's not my favorite.
It's okay.
What's his name? His name's
Kim.
Kim.
And
Kim,
he works at Providence.
Kim Stodel, right?
Yes, exactly. He is actually one of the top bartenders in the world. That was an exaggeration, but I'm going to say America.
Yeah,
because he's actually gone to a lot of competitions and done very well. So he's
amazing.
He's really good, and he does amazing drinks, truly off the cuff. And
Describe the show, like what?
Okay, so we have comics come in, they do a set, and then we have our bartender design a cocktail based on their comedy.
Nice.
And then everybody gets to drink it.
Super
fun. What was your drink called, Greg?
I'm sober. Sober these days. So I'm always get like a virgin, like white dick. Something that,
creamy.
It's very creamy. Yeah. Like, something of some weird joke that I'm talking about,
A lot of the names are sexual.
Yeah, it's great.
Rick Witt and I were at one of our friends' going away parties at Meredith's parents were there.
Oh, Jesus. I remember that night.
And then we got really drunk, and we just kept on saying pussy juice in front of their parents.
And somehow they still love you more than me. I don't.
So inappropriate.
And me and Bruce, and Mary, we're cool as fuck now.
Yeah.
Bruce been cool. And then we just kept on saying pussy juice. And then I just, on the show, I was just like, I had to apologize to Meredith. I just want to apologize for saying pussy juice. And I just kept on saying pussy juice throughout my set. And then that was the name of the drink, which is a good drink by Kim. I wanted to get
it. A lot of people like to drink.
That's great.
Right now, people are selling
the pussy juice.
It's not like a perfume right now. Who's selling?
Erykah Badu.
Yeah. Erykah Badu has incense from her underwear.
Gwyneth Paltrow has a candle.
How?
From her vagina. Yeah. It's going to smell like her vagina.
I don't know.
Fake. And what version of smell are you going to get in? Morning? After shower?
Yes.
After work?
After the workout?
I want all of it, actually.
Does it come in a series?
Gwyneth Paltrow's what?
I thought it was like fake, a fake story. Everybody was talking about this candle. I thought it was like a joke, like an Onion News or something.
Okay. Yeah.
It was real. And I was like, shit, Gwyneth.
She has like a whole...
She's goop. Got goop.
Yeah.
I just found out about goop like maybe a month and a half ago. People were telling me about it. And she has like this new Netflix show that's about to come out.
You don't know about the vagina stone?
I heard about the vagina stone.
Yeah, it tightens up the...
Good for Gwyneth,
it doesn't. You just stick a rock in your hoo-ha. And she also had women in steaming their vaginas, which I guess is very bad for the vagina.
Yeah.
I don't think you should listen to any advice.
I know.
But she has an Oscar.
For your vagina.
Cool.
there was
a job opening at Goop for a technical designer. They must do clothing. And my mom sent me the link for vaginas. Yes. How deep is your
crotch lines?
And my mom sent me the link to it. She goes, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's okay. And she goes, I just wonder what it's like to work for Gwyneth. I think she's really involved. And I'm like, exactly. I would never want that job.
I know.
The vagina factory must be held up.
I just love when people finally get like how gullible a lot of people are, and they're like, I'm just gonna sell the shit out of everything. Mm. And like, yeah, fucking dirty panty incense.
It used to be
good
that's
for you.
Used to sell, I knew a comic.
Good for you.
I knew a comic who used to sell her used underwear on Craigslist.
We all know her. We all know her.
I wish I knew how to do that.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
People that know how to like get their feet pictures paid for.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
man. Dirty socks, dirty underwear.
It's
yeah.
So
like,
many.
I got all those things. Anybody want?
I just need to find a dirty person on the internet who likes like ashy elbows.
It's not.
Show me those ashy elbows, bro. I was like, yeah.
Men aren't sexy like that.
I know. I just,
we
yeah,
don't,
I know.
We don't have
know.
That type of
fuck.
Sex appeal.
Well, if I was allowed at ladies' night, maybe you guys could teach me how to be fucking sexy.
Yeah,
all right. I'm trying.
It doesn't work like that.
Okay.
There will never be a website for dudes' dirty drawers.
No. Oh, I sure hope not.
Nobody's buying that.
No.
First of all, we don't know about our Asian brothers and sisters, but our German ones, you know.
Nobody's buying that, buddy.
Our Germans. Those Germans.
Those Germans.
And those boxers.
Yeah, they might.
They love them.
It's like, I just want some American sweaty ball underwear.
Meredith, you are starting your own business, right? Aren't you? You have your own business now with a partner where you're doing...
Well, that kind of went away.
Okay.
She got hired at Disney.
Oh, good
and,
for her. Okay.
She has an amazing job. Very happy for her.
Okay.
But actually, at my current job, we're going to be opening up a tailoring division.
Nice.
So
okay.
Kind of the same idea, but... you know, just a little different business partners.
Okay. Yeah. Like a boutique, like anybody can get a suit or like a
It's going to focus primarily for people that get celebrity stylists. So a lot of times for photo shoots and whatnot, they just need things taken in real quick or shortened or lengthened, really quick alterations so that they can go get shot in a photo shoot or, you know, go on stage for a concert. So there's a need for that.
Totally.
And we are going to start working on that.
You're
so
great
should be
at
really,
it, too.
Should be, I mean, I hope so. I've been entrusted with your future wife's wedding dress.
Holy
which,
shit.
Which,
for
oh,
real?
I've yeah. seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
I know.
What?
You better
Can
not
I
have seen it.
It? Can
listen,
I see it?
No,
I'm sure you. I'm sure you can't.
I don't think any guys are allowed.
Yeah, no guys are allowed.
I don't think
yeah,
so. I know
we're gonna
I
start working
it.
On that this weekend. So,
if you want to see a video of her in action, you can go to katiescrack.com.
Oh, that's right. I'm
that's
on an
true.
Episode.
I followed her for 2 months while she made a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
A couple of them actually.
Yeah,
one for you, one for Doug.
Yes.
And those are amazing. You do that every year.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
so
it's crazy. But
yeah, your alterations are great. I think you've altered like a couple of my jackets.
Well, you did most of the work for that collar really? When we turned that collar.
Oh, that's
remember?
Right. That collar was so fly too.
And then, oh yeah, that's right. I did your denim,
soon. Your
denim jacket.
My denim jacket,
yes.
Which I get compliments on all the time about that.
Oh, good.
All the time.
Good. It's fun. I like. Well, you love to thrift.
I do.
You
I'm
get lots
thrift
of
junkie.
Thrift scores, and I think that's a great way to go.
Cheap.
I honestly like
Crossroads is really good.
I don't want to buy anything new anymore. Like I just want to buy stuff from thrift stores, vintage, because that stuff it's like first of all, everything's so wasteful and expensive.
I agree.
And I know how much things cost to make. So I'm cursed where I'm like, I wouldn't pay that. Like, this isn't worth it. Like, I know your markup and this is outrageous. but a lot of the pieces that I have like that were made, let's say in the 80s, just overall higher quality of construction, better materials, and they obviously if they've weathered the storm to now, they're going to last forever. So if you can take things that you find, like that's another hole that I think would be also another good business of like if you find things or you have like an old pair of jeans that you love but they don't fit you anymore or there's a hole in them and you don't want to get rid of them but you want to do something with it, I think there's a whole business idea to like convert that into maybe a tote bag or to combine things and do things that way. So I think that is really
interesting. It's like one piece of a shirt putting on another piece of a shirt. I have a shirt that you made that like it's the funniest thing ever when like you walk into the living room and you see Greg hunched over a sewing machine.
Yes.
You just
see
shoulders
man.
And a bald head and you just
oh,
and I was like,
I'm getting it in.
Yeah.
I gotta fix a jacket right now.
Meredith, who do you think is like the fashion person? Like, who do you like?
Oh my God, you are asking the wrong person.
No, who do you like? Like, who do you think is like dope? Like, is always like stylish when you see them.
I really don't follow celebrities at all.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a celebrity. It could be a politician.
You.
Mitt Romney crushed it. Yeah.
Mitt Romney got them jeans.
See what happens when you fish for a compliment? Jeans. That's all I wanted you to say. Next question.
When was the last time you bought your own clothes, man?
You got 2 months ago.
You inherited some gems.
I bought these pants. But most of these clothes are from...
Zac Efron gave me most of these clothes. He's been in his closet.
Yeah. I was in his closet.
Let me know if he wants to do his own clothing line. We can make that happen.
Someone was talking to me about the last night.
Zac should do his own clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
He should.
I just want to say this about Zac Efron. I just want to say this.
He did good in Ted Bundy. He was good.
No, he was great in Ted Bundy. Yeah. And I appreciate the joke I got out of it. It's just weird. And like, it's just weird. So when he communicates, and then I'll communicate. Whatever, you know, it's just weird. He rapped in front of me.
Hey. Didn't he shut him down?
He was very high.
Yeah, I was very high. So was I, but I kept my decorum. People, I did not rap.
People rap when they're high.
That'd be like me doing, you know what, let me do a monologue.
Think you got another joke coming. So, Katie, what's going on with you in comedy? How's comedy these days?
The two shows, I'm really happy with how they're going. Mm-hmm. Like,
best
very
shows
happy.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, totally. I'm pretty proud of them. So,
how do you, what am I trying to say? Like, how do you do everything? Because you work a 9-to-5 job in Hollywood, a Hollywood job.
Mm-hmm.
You're at mics. Mm-hmm. You're micing it up.
Yeah.
You have your shows. How do you balance everything? I'm having a hard time with balance right now.
Oh, man.
How do you balance?
I don't. I'm just tired all the time. I wish I knew how to. Like, if you figure out a trick, let me know. No, I just, you know, I have a pretty good day job, to be honest. Like, my boss is dope. Yeah. So
you've been there a while, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about what you do?
4 years.
We don't have to if you're not comfortable.
I mean, I just work at a studio, and
I just work at a studio.
No big deal.
It's Disney. She's the head of Disney.
People in Idaho.
She's the secret head of Disney.
Right. You know, I can't make the club mics. You know, there's a lot that I can't do. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I'm stagnated a little bit because I can't do the stuff that people with more flexible schedules can do. So.
What are you...
had to create my own shows.
Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, I think that's a good move to do, though. Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to do that you're not doing right now? Like, I mean, you got two shows that you're doing. You said you would like to get to... You would like to get to the club mics more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, you know, do a little bit more of the normal steps that most people do and, like, get past it something.
Yeah.
And, you know, get seen by more people and yeah, I feel like I'm kind of hidden away in the dive bar mics and the Hollywood Hotel and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. You just got to keep pushing, though.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. One foot in front of the other. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other aspirations, though, that you're... I know you have your crack gig. Yeah.
Well, Katie's crack, that's kind of on pause.
Katie's crack.
It became a little too much. And it's crack, like the Irish word crack.
Yeah.
Yes. Which not is, with the C.
Not drugs.
Well, really, you just finished the best episode.
That's true.
So how can you continue?
I can't do anything better than Mary's episode. Exactly. You know, the ultimate goal, I think, is to write for television. I think that's what it's always been.
Yeah.
So if I can make that happen, you know, or sell a show here, maybe. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people about
stuff. All right,
we don't know. I don't
want to
jinx it.
No. We won't talk about it.
It's not made out of wood, by the way. So
you want to talk. You have the wall. The wall behind
but
you.
But that's good.
Thank you.
All right. Mm. That's dope. Meredith, how do you keep everything going and keep everything balanced?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It gets harder every year of your life, I feel. Like, so you learn so much in a year, but then you're also like, okay, well, now I'm going to do these things. And it's weird because there's a week like this where I had something after work every single night. And then there's other weeks where I'm like, you know, which could be like stressful, but then there's other weeks where I have not a lot going on after work and I'm like, oh, this is kind of boring. Yeah. So for me, it's kind of hard to find a balance because I do like having things to do, but there's often times where I'm like, oh my God, seriously, like I have to go do this and this, and now I'm really stressed out. So it's hard. It's never, and every week is different.
Yeah.
You know,
anytime I take a night off, I feel like I'm letting myself down. Like there's like this need to like, you have to do more and more and more. I don't know if you feel like that.
Oh.
But I this feel like I'm never doing
constant.
Enough.
I think these last six, these like 5 months, I haven't been like out every night. Mm-hmm. And it's been weird. It's been great.
Yeah.
But a part of me is like, yo, what's going on, dog?
Yeah. Because
I'm like, you know, I'm like a train, you know, just keep going, going. Mm-hmm. But it's been nice just to breathe a little bit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
When I get on stage, I feel like, oh, man. You know, like,
this thing.
Hey, you know, more. I wouldn't say more happier, but
I would say
different.
That. You look very happy.
I mean, like I've been doing comedy for so long now, so like and like grinding every day. So I've noticed sometimes I get on stage and it's sort of like, like what are y'all kids doing here? You know what I mean? So I think
get off my stage.
I think taking breaks. It's good. I think it's hard to mentally deal with. I think we're in like a mindset of like grind, mm-hmm. you know, with like
definitely.
Gary Vee and like this grind porn that we're like, if you're not grinding, you're not doing anything.
Right.
4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's like,
I don't think that's true. I think being smart about things is the best way to go about it. I think mm-hmm. you can grind yourself to death, and
sure.
I think you can grind yourself to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're just hitting a wall and you don't look back and notice there's a door right there, you know?
Yeah.
I think being smarter about it than working so hard is, I think it's better.
Yeah.
I mean, the best thing to do is combine both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't subscribe to this whole super grind thing anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you because I used to try to get everything that everybody else was trying to get, like do the improv mic and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, I got to maximize my time. I don't have
exactly.
a lot of it.
We
so
don't.
I have to be. Right. I have to be specific and very make choices about what I'm doing with my time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think though one of the reasons why time tends to go so fast is because we are so busy.
Yeah.
But I think about like my parents, they didn't have half as much going on,
totally.
Right? And I just think as we've gone on as a society, it just has become that way.
Yeah.
And that's when like I blink and I'm like, I don't even know what I did this week, but I know I did a lot, you know? Like, and it's just like, time just goes like that. So, you know, when you're like on vacation and you're away from everything and you're, you know, vacations do go by quickly, but you do realize like what a day actually is when you're not like booked, you know, from morning till night. You don't have to be anywhere. It's that weird, like, mm-hmm. what is this?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so. This is what 2 p.m. feels like.
Yeah. It's such a strange feeling.
I was at my sister's house. There was so little to do. I would just get up and change rooms just to do it. I'm going to be in this room now.
Yeah.
Where's your sister at again?
She's in Texas.
Nice. What part of Texas?
Andrews.
It's, I've heard of Andrews.
The Bush family is from there.
Is there an Air Force base there?
Well,
is that
maybe.
That one?
But there's a an airport in Midland that is...
Midland.
Yeah, that's where they're from.
It's international and also like interspace. It says something about the like space flight. Like, are you flying the moon from here?
That's probably where they're going to go when the shit hits the fan.
Texas is wild.
Yeah.
I like Texas, though.
A lot of oil fields out there.
Texas is weird.
Yeah.
Like, I spent a lot of time in El Paso over the last year, and... I like Texans, man. Texans get a bad rap on a lot of different things, but they always spoke every morning. I would see people, they would speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they shoot you. They'll shoot you. But they were very nice. They were very, like, upfront nice. Bradless, we didn't ask you. How are you balancing? How is your balance these days? How are you doing?
I just stopped giving a fuck about things that didn't matter, I guess. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
it's a good move.
So like you were saying, going to like mics and stuff, like, oh, if I can't make this club mic or whatever, does it, like me rushing over to it, you know what I mean? I just like didn't give me, just have gave me all this anxiety and yeah. stuff like that. So now it's just like just scheduling, but not without being so robotic about it. Like I don't have mm-hmm. a schedule, whatever, but I just have like time frames now. So I'm just like, oh, I'm going to wake up around this time. And then I'm going to do this for like 30 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get to what I have to do to like, you know, sustain a life and live and stuff like that. But then as soon as I'm done with that, it's just like I'm back to just like having my time again. Like you're saying, like your time is important, right? So it's like just not giving like not giving up my time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just sacrificing. All right, this is the time I make money. And this is time for like me.
And you're also not guilt-tripping yourself.
Yeah, I'm not guilt. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. It's like, nah, this is the time that I'm doing this right now.
Yeah.
So like every time I feel like, oh, I should be doing this, I'm like, where am I right now is the thing I'm practicing.
Good.
So I'm just like, oh, I should be, like last week I was like, oh, man, I got to rush over. I got to walk over to the store because they're doing a mic at 10 o'clock. It's fucking 8:45. It's going to take me 45 minutes. And I'm just like, let me just chill. It's like, where am I right now? I'm in my apartment. I'm having a coffee. I can relax, and the store is not going to disappear. No. You know what I mean?
It won't.
It's like learning to say no.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard to like say no sometimes when you're like, oh, well, I should just go do it. But learning when it's like, okay, like if you don't want to do it, you can just say no. Yeah. Like it's such a weird, easy concept, but difficult to do.
And then also using the time wisely too, because one time I walked to the improv mic and... Sorry, this is all comedy based because comedy is my life, whatever. But like, I walked in, and improv is huge now. So it's like a long line now because the booker's watching, whatever.
Right.
And then I was like, man, I should get there like an hour early, right? And I was like, no, I'm not probably going to do that.
Yeah.
So then I was like, you know what? I think people like me there. I'm just going to just bypass the line. I'm going to get there on time, but I'm just going to be like, hey, can I get a thing? Just because, you know, instead of like wasting my time and being like, am I going to get a ticket? Blah, blah, blah. It's just like, I might as well just use. You know what you have,
your influence,
my influence, but you know friendships and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People do each other favors all the time in this business. And it's like me getting a ticket's not the biggest.
Every single person in this universe is doing that. Everybody is not using people, but taking advantage of their relationship. So
everything. I was telling my cousin this the other day. I was like, every relationship is transactional, but that doesn't have to be a negative connotation. It's just like. I love marriage. I always have fun. That's a transactional relationship because I like
you get my parents.
I get her parents.
Look, they're your parents. They're my parents.
I can't wait for them. To come back.
Yeah,
I'm so happy.
The best brother I've ever had.
He just hit the mic, people.
I'm just so happy just thinking about Bruce and be talking. I do light up when I think about your parents. No, but like I always have a good time hanging out with you, and you make me feel happy and stuff. So it's like that's a transactional relationship.
Yes.
Meredith, you're fucking hilarious.
Oh, you know, so you said Meredith again. Are you talking about me?
Katie, you're hilarious. Sorry.
You're looking at me.
I'm tired, too.
Meredith, you're hilarious.
You know, two blondes. We all look the same anyway.
You're great. You're great.
That's right. Come out to my two shows. They're amazing.
This Saturday. I don't know what
I get, like, great advice or, like, sage wisdom from Greg over here.
You know, say steak wisdom?
Sage.
Oh, sage wisdom.
I'm not a
talk
asshole.
I like wisdom. That's what I mean.
You got this guy in your corner. You're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Despite myself. But so every relationship is transactional.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know?
What's inspiring you, Katie?
This is going to sound weird maybe coming from me, but after Kobe died, I started looking at all his stuff again, and he's very inspirational.
That's not weird at all.
I mean, he's got me on this whole thing about like focusing and like all that,
all
the Kobe stuff.
So
that's kind of what's inspiring me right now. Life is short, you know.
Good.
You never know what's gonna come.
Very true.
Hell yeah. You on that mama mentality?
Maybe.
That dude was.
I didn't want to say that.
That dude was real.
Yeah.
That dude was about his shit, man.
Yeah.
Mama mentality. Good.
Yeah.
No, that's not weird at all. I think most of LA and most of the country right now, maybe a lot of the world is on that right
now. Yeah.
It's a weird vibe. Not weird vibe, but it's an energy that I'm picking up from a lot of people that is like, they're grinding, and it's like Kobe is like, ooh, which is intense.
Yeah.
You know, you got this Kobe in your ear.
Kobe, I was watching some Kobe stuff on YouTube last night, and he had a thing where he realized, he was like, oh, I'm grinding all the time. But then he realized he needed rest. So he was like, he realized he was playing shitty. And he was like, oh, I realized I'm playing shitty. It's not because of my training, because I train all the time. It's because I want to get like 3 hours of sleep a night. Then he realized, oh, I'm grinding too much. I should just put as much energy in resting.
Yep.
And then, you know, he won a couple championships after
that. Yeah, no big deal.
But he still trained his ass off. So, yeah.
Yeah, you got to focus. And, you know, it's like what we just talked about earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Meredith, what about you? What's inspiring you these days?
Well, really my new job is inspiring because I was in such of a rut and like a hole that I didn't realize it when I was in it. Like last year was really rough. I was super depressed and just didn't know. Like I knew what was going on, but at the same time, I didn't really know what was causing me to feel that way. Yeah. And then once I realized, I was like, oh yeah, that place that you spend most of your time is not doing it for you anymore. Like it just, and it's not like I hated the people I worked with, which I did. I loved all the people I worked with. I loved the company, but what I was doing was just so like mind numbing at that point because I had done it for so long. So really just having like something new and fresh where I'm learning constantly. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up new skills. I'm having to do things I've never done before. I mean, it's been a long time since I've done that, aside from CrossFit. So that to me has been like really inspiring and just like wanting to be the best at it because that's my crazy work ethic and perfectionism where I'm like, okay, now I'm doing this and I must be the best at it. So I'm just like super focused and really just want to do a good job. So that's been like an amazing thing for me.
Good.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Brad?
Funny you should say that. I was talking to Meredith last night,
yes.
And we're talking about Saved by the Bell.
Oh my God, yes!
So I'm inspired by like old shit. So I've been watching Saved by the Bell.
Inspired by Saved by the Bell.
Is it coming back on?
Yes, coming back on the reboot. It's probably going to be awful.
It's going to be terrible.
But people, if you listen to this, do not watch the new class because that's garbage.
Nope.
Just stick to when they're in high school.
Yes.
And maybe watch the Kelly and Zach gets married in Hawaii.
Oh,
or whatever.
yes. The wedding.
The wedding.
Very important.
But I've been watching a lot of that and just been like, oh, yeah, this used to be a fun show. And just like getting in touch with like childhood fun, I guess, is what's inspiring.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Kelly Kapowski. Gracious,
rock those shortalls, you know? The one shoulder strap.
Mm.
Talk about fashion inspiration.
Yeah.
Okay, right there. Her and Clarissa explains it all.
I think Zach Morris's fashion still holds up.
Oh, those sneakers?
Yeah.
Those sneakers with the Stonewash jeans?
These, yeah, totally. it still holds up.
Slater with the tank top?
I don't think Slater holds up.
man, we do a lot of sweatpants, and I gotta say, you know, Slater wore sweatpants all the time.
That's
so
true.
He was on to athleisure before it was cool.
Athleisure,
yeah.
It's like athleisure is like $1 billion industry.
Oh my gosh, it is insane what sweatpants sell for.
Yeah.
Like it is, like, unbelievable because they look like the sweatpants that you had in the early 90s, with the elastic at the bottom and, you know, a draw cord at the waist. And I'm like, what is this? Like, it's so, like, men's athleisure, men's sportswear obviously was not in my realm forever. And now that I'm in it, I'm like, what is this? Like, how are people making so much money off of sweatpants?
I think what did it, I mean, I think leggings did all of it.
Oh, yeah. That was the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, women were like, we're never getting out of yoga.
Yeah.
So guys were like, we're never getting out of sweatpants.
Yeah.
I think leggings did it. And then, guys were kind of jealous of the leggings.
Yeah.
Women could wear leggings to the gym, to work, to the club. And then joggers
came. Just let us have one thing, okay, guys? Just one thing.
Dudes got hella jealous over leggings. And we got joggers. And we were like, oh, we can wear joggers and let our dick show.
Let it swing.
I can let my dick out and
I've
show
seen
these
that
joggers. And then, I think, and that's when it just blew up. I mean, Champion and all, like, sneaker culture and all
but
that.
But Champion was never cool. Can we all agree on that? That's
I thought Champion was cool back in the day. Okay, I used to love it, but it probably
wasn't.
I have a Champion sweatshirt crop top now.
We all do, right? I mean, now it's at Target, and, like, you can buy Champion everywhere, and now there's, like, expensive Champion.
Yep.
But, like, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how is this a throwback when it never was a thing to be? It's, like, what amazing marketing.
Totally. I think everyone's dressing like an 80s bully.
Yeah.
Sweatpants and a jacket.
Doug should have been able to go back in time because he would have been like the quintessential, like the asshole in like the 80s teen movies. Like, he would have nailed that part. He just needed to be born like, you know, 15 years prior.
Katie, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Kateability, everything, on everything. Kateability, K-A-T, ability. And that's on everything. So.
And when's your next show?
This Saturday. But we're doing the secret show that need not be mentioned. First Wednesday of every month. And then we're doing Two Drink Minimum, usually second Saturday of every month. And we're maybe going to throw in a second one on a Monday.
Yes.
Okay. We haven't figured that out yet. That'd be at your house.
Yes.
So.
Yay.
I need your permission.
I love that show because I get to wear slippers.
Meredith, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Oh, I guess I'm on Instagram. My name is Minnie Mare because I can't make up names. So that's MINNIEMERE. And it's mostly just dog photos and tiki drinks. So very exciting.
It's great content.
It's fantastic content. Why I'm not sponsored, I don't know.
It's coming.
The blue check mark is coming soon.
Yes.
Bradless, where can the people find you on the interwebs?
Classic Bradless on Instagram. And Oxy Content on the Twitters, Blackstage Pod on Twitter, and Blackstage Podcast on Instagram.
Awesome.
And I'm back on Facebook.
Woo.
Wow.
For a limited time only.
Talking about back. Back in time. You guys can find me at Greg the Grouch on Twitter, Greg Comedy on Instagram, gregcomedy.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Blackstage Podcast. We really appreciate all our listeners. Thank you for reaching out to us on Instagram and reaching out to us on Twitter. We want to thank our guest, Katie Merriam. Follow her at Kateability on everything. Go out to her show, Two Drink Minimums.
Yay.
And if you're so lucky to get invited to the Secret Show, check that out, too, you're so lucky.
Don't turn me down.
And shout out to Bruce and Mary.
Oh, yes. They will.
Can we shout out their daughter first?
Okay, sorry. I mean, it should go to parents first and then right, care. I guess
right.
Dark
I'm here
girl.
Because of them.
We
so.
Want to thank Meredith Petro for being on the show. Thank you, Meredith,
you.
For
this
all
is
you
so
do.
Fun. My
this
first podcast.
Yay. This is great.
Yay.
One of many more.
I hope so.
Please follow Minnie Mare on Instagram. And follows just everything Meredith does. She's the best.
And
thanks for listening to the Blackstage Podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace. I like it.